So this will be changing over the upcoming year. Given that the actual allocation is within the allowable ranges by asset class, there is some underweights and overweights. Notably, fixed income is underweight by approximately 3%, and equities and private investments are overweight. That's largely the result of the relative performance. So for example, equities on a relative basis have outperformed fixed income, and the private markets have outperformed the public markets. Next slide, please. Reflected on this slide is the endowment pool performance as of March 31st. Of note, with the endowment pool, over the quarter and the 1 year period, you have outperformed your policy benchmark. Over the longer term periods, you have slightly lagged or held your own against this policy benchmark. For the quarter and the 1 year, what really has allowed this pool to outperform was the performance of the fixed income. Fixed income outperformed its policy benchmark by approximately 6%. Over the longer term, the 3-, 5-, and 10-year period, although the pool has slightly lagged the policy benchmark, the equity allocation within this portfolio has provided a cushion during the credit crisis when we saw fixed income really be hit by market activity. And as reflected with the operating pool, in the appendix is endowment pool preliminary performance through June. So I'm just going to verbally talk to that and not have folks flip pages. So through June 30th, and it's important to note this is before farmland returns. There's a farmland allocation within this portfolio that has performed very, very well. But since it is a private investment and returns are based upon appraisals, there is a little bit more of a lag. So we don't have farmland returns yet. But through June 30th, over the 1 year basis, the endowment pool has returned approximately 23.7% versus the benchmark of 23.4. So we are seeing not only absolute positive double-digit performance with the endowment pool, we're seeing relative outperformance versus the benchmark. If there's no questions, I'll continue. Just want to pause here. Okay. Next slide, please. Reflected on this slide is the approved endowment pool allocation. In January of this year, the board has approved a shift in the allocation strategy for the endowment pool. Of note, the changes that we're seeing is a reduction in public equities from 67% to 48%. Within public equities, we are seeing a shift away from just U.S. and non-U.S. slices to a global equity mandate so that we could more closely mirror what the global equity opportunity set is. We are seeing an addition of two new asset classes. We're seeing real estate and hedge funds both being added, and a slight increase in private equity. Those new asset classes and the increase in private equity are being funded by the decrease in public equities. And just to remind the board, the benefits that this portfolio shift, the policy shift in allocation is expected to provide is a portfolio that has slightly lower risk, a slightly higher expected return, and provide the university with more diversification within the portfolio. Next slide, please. And finally, on this slide, we have an overview of the implementation timeline. So one thing to put it on paper that this is our plan, now we need to figure out how to get there. We're currently in stage one. Stage one is the issuing of an RFP for fixed income managers for both the endowment pool and the operating pool. It's a fairly comprehensive RFP. We are going out looking for fixed income managers that could cover a number of different mandates. So all resources are being targeted to this one RFP. Stage two, which the plan is to begin that process in the fall of this year, is to issue RFPs for the two new asset classes, hedge funds and core real estate, as well as an RFP for global equity. Given the fact those are three RFPs that will happen not necessarily simultaneously, but overlap, We would expect that to take us through the better part of 2012 as we interview managers and determine finalists and bring those to staff and management and the committees. I'll pause here for questions.
Why does it take so long?
It's shorter than it was.
Oh, it is.
Just to quickly answer your question, the university is required to do a public RFP process. So there is the preparation of the RFP, which is a fairly lengthy questionnaire for each of these asset classes. There's the process of working, staff working with the purchasing as far as putting together all the other requirements that the university has to qualify vendors. It is giving the vendors some time to respond to the questionnaire. It's filtering through those answers. It's preliminary interviews with the managers, narrowing it down to finalists of the managers, and then various levels of approval by staff, management, and the committee. So that really is results in a timeline that may not be the preferred timeline, but it'll allow us to be methodical and deliberate as we move through this process.
Angela, if the current approved asset allocation had been the previous allocation, do you have any historical numbers on what our performance would have been against the benchmark over the last 5 or 10 years?
I'm sorry, if the approved policy allocation would be the current?
Yeah, particularly the shift now to the global allocation. Had that been the prior allocation, what would that have resulted in terms of?
I don't have exact numbers on me, but what I would like to draw our attention to is slide 3. And this will give us a little direction on how the portfolio would have been impacted, at least in the public equity markets. So what we're seeing here on slide, this slide, yes, thank you, on slide 3, is if we had in place the current, the targeted policy allocation that would have more more emphasis on global equity,
right,
and less of a home country bias,
right,
over the longer term periods, we would have, over the 5-year period, we would have been neutral. Over the long-term period, which is what we like to focus on, we would have had a positive benefit to having more global equity exposure. The private markets have done well versus the public markets. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, so that would have been expected to benefit the portfolio. Hedge funds, especially during the credit crisis, did provide a cushion in down markets, so we may have seen the benefit there of having hedge fund exposure. And finally, core real estate, which is the other new asset class that is recommended and approved to be added to the endowment pool. Since the rebound, commercial real estate, especially core real estate, there's been a flood of monies going into core real estate and has also performed very well for a stable, more conservative asset class. So I'm sorry I don't have exact numbers, but...
We didn't talk about that at the committee meeting. It was just something I thought about.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Well, please go, Patricia.
On one of your notes, you indicated that the staff is monitoring a manager that contributed to the volatility of an investment strategy. So can you talk a little bit about what occurs if it continues to be volatile?
I definitely can. So there is one manager in the operating portfolio. It is Western Asset Management that does have a slightly broader fixed income mandate. And what we saw with this particular manager is during 2007 and 2008, a significant underperformance versus its benchmark. This was largely the result of the fact that they had more exposure to non-government related securities. The rebound, though, from this manager is they have outperformed their benchmark significantly in 2009 and 2010. Folks tend to be less concerned about volatility when the manager is outperforming than when the manager is underperforming. But at the end of the day, this is causing peaks and valleys for this manager's performance in the operating portfolio. So our firm closely monitors Western.